Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Speaking of baseball, optimism is continuing to build for the Royals. This is nice. Thursday has some hype to it. Vern will get you started at 2 o'clock coming up on Thursday. MLB.com and others starting to think the Royals could be a surprise. This is what we've wanted. Just give us a chance.
Let's go.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, with us yesterday on the show. We asked him, you know, can this division be had? What do you think of the AL Central?
I begin on the bench. Looking at the manager, the loss of Terry Francona, maybe I'm blowing this out of proportion, but I have a lot of respect for him. The way that he handled his clubhouse, the way that he handled his bullpen as far as getting everyone to buy in, accept their roles. I think the loss of Tito is going to be huge in Cleveland. In fact, you look around the division, A.J. Hinch is in Detroit, Rocco Baldelli in Minnesota, he's won a division. Maybe I give them a slight edge. But for only being in his second year, the way that these guys are talking out of camp, this is finally a Matt Quatrero type of team. This is a 26-man roster where everyone's going to contribute. So I don't think that Cleveland has the huge managerial advantage that they've had for the past decade. You look at the offense, Minnesota's better. I'll give the Twins a better lineup than the Royals. Nobody else. Rotation, Cleveland has a better rotation. That's it. Minnesota, I think, is as good. Sure, they have an ace in Pablo Lopez, but after their 1-2, it's a pretty big drop-off. No one in this division brings the type of, in my opinion, stability that this Royals rotation has when you have Waka and Lugo to go along with the high upside of Reagans and Brady Singer. Mm-hmm. The bullpen, the Royals are no worse than third best in the division. I think defensively, they're as good as anyone. Base running, they're as good as anyone, them and the Cleveland Guardians. So there's no reason on paper right now that this team should finish any lower than third place. And again, Singer, Reagans, and Melendez, if those three hits, it should be no surprise that Annie Rogers wrote in her piece today she sees the Royals winning the division. It's certainly possible. It's not pie in the sky. You need a few things to go your way, health more than anything. But you're right, very milquetoast division, and you look at the injuries. Minnesota's already lost three relievers to the IL. Cleveland has lost two and a starting pitcher, so the battle of attrition has already started.
And the Michael Waka update was that it's fine.
Going to be okay.
This is all right.
Yeah, this is good.
The middle finger contusion, Bob, right there. See it? That there, it's fine. He'll be fine.
So I picked my daughter up from school yesterday. I had a pair of gloves in my car, and she goes, is this the finger you guys were talking about this morning? And pulled down all the fingers of the glove.
Sorry about that.
I'm like a father, like son. Yeah. Or like daughter, I guess.
Yep, that's the finger. That's fair. Middle finger.
That's the
contusion.
One right there.
That was the one. Pitching hand, too. It's really big. So I love the optimism.
Mm-hmm.
I love the more so the I mean, if there was like a head and shoulders, like, oh man, you can't catch them and you're playing for a wild card.
Right.
I still think you have to win the division because the division's not great, but like they're not like so far, you know, it's not a 50-meter lead you're trying to chase down in a relay race or something.
No, not at all. No. I think this division is wide open for everyone. Let's talk to Binkley about the draft.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty and Odyssey Station. Royals baseball comes your way on a Thursday, a 3:10 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern will have your on-deck show too.
I hate that start time.
The 10?
No, 3 o'clock. In the afternoon, like make it a 1 o'clock start. Like 3 o'clock is like right in the middle of everything that's going on. If you're a parent,
Oh yeah.
Like 1 o'clock start. Let's go.
Yeah.
We're 9 a.m. I'd be good with that too.
More. Yeah. We need more. What are you saying? We need more Korean games that start at 5 a.m.
Yeah. Give me some of them 5 a.m. start times. Yeah, yeah. You know how crazy that would be if the Royals decided opening day was Thursday at 5 a.m.? Just do something ridiculous. Why not?
Well, because the players would not.
I don't care about the players. I really don't.
You think a baseball player could adjust to a 5 a.m. game?
I don't care. It's not about
with
their
comfort. With a day off afterwards?
Oh, I know. There's just no way they
could handle
that. Oh, my God. We make every excuse for baseball players.
I tell them, like, you'll be done by lunch.
Yeah, 5, 6. You'll be done by breakfast.
You'll be done by lunch. You have two meals at home. Go to bed early. Get up the next day. Got a day off.
Off day and
get
go.
Get up and get the rubber band up at the chain link fence and do that the next day. And then
think about how much better attendance would be at 5 a.m. because everybody would want to be
on
there.
Saturday.
Play a 5 a.m. opening day. Just do it. Just do something ridiculously crazy every once in a while. Well, baseball says we got to fit it in a nice box. No, play it at 5 a.m. Have fun with it. Oh, could you imagine the Players Association coming to the defense of the players to ask them to get up at an ungodly hour to play a baseball game?
By
God, we saw COVID where we were risking our lives. My God. Whit Merrifield would have none of this.
So until that happens, 3:10, I believe, is the time on Thursday here on 610 Sports Radio.
That dude was high on something.
He was high on college football.
College football with Big T. Let's throw in a Sean Thompson ball with Big T. Knows college football better than his own family. College football, J.B.
Got their chow in, wearing them short, track style shorts.
I heard he almost played football in Nebraska.
He used to call Bobby Bowden and ask for football informational nuggets with barbecue sauce.
Jay knows more about high school football than you know about your family.
B-Dub.
Call Jay Binkley.
Call Bink.
Pretty much a reason to play the Bink intro by the old number fives. Kind of talking some college football and transitioning into pro football. Jay Binkley of 610 Sports Radio and, of course, the Character Concerns podcast with Chris Unocero that's out each and every week, breaking down what the Chiefs should be doing in the draft. Good morning, Bink.
Good morning, fellas.
So, Jay, let's take a look. You kind of went around the world of draft coverage, right? I think you looked at like 40 different mock drafts. 40 different mock drafts.
Oh, my.
So what does the national consensus say about the Chiefs and what they will draft?
A lot of clicks.
Yeah, these are recent ones. So these are post-combine. So most of them are Hollywood Brown, you know, with the Chiefs and everything else. Which direction would they go? So out of the 40 mock drafts, anywhere from USA to Pro Football Focus, any of them, 26 wide receivers, 6 right tackles, 6 left tackles are the breakdown. Defensive tackles, 1. Cornerback, 1. Out of those 40 mocks, the most prevalent pick is A.D. Mitchell with 10 people, the wide receiver from Texas. Matter of fact, 17 of these are the two Texas wide receivers, Xavier Worthy with 7 of those mock drafts picking him.
So do you like that pick? Do you like that consensus?
I do.
Why?
I do. I want wide receiver. I think, you know, you look at 26 different publications, they have wide receivers. I do. I like the two choices of wide receivers they have. I wish the Chiefs were in the Brian Thomas market from LSU, but they would have to move down to get him. Would they move down? Never put anything out of the possibility with Brett Veach. He says, okay, this is the draft. We need wide receiver.
I know.
And we're not going to settle on a wide receiver at 32. You know, we want somebody that's going to make a difference for this team. They're going to have to move because if you constantly pick, you know, 32, you've been to 6 straight AFC title games and all the Super Bowls that are racking up. You know, they're going to have to move if they want a decent pick.
I'm always skeptical a little bit, Bink, of the, like, it's too obvious. I feel like wide receiver was so obvious, obviously, this entire offseason. But then even after Hollywood Brown, I thought, okay, now does it shift a little bit to other spots? You mentioned there were, a handful that had either right tackle or left tackle. I thought maybe offensive line might creep more so in the picture if they couldn't get their guy at, you know, a wide receiver at 32 or move up.
Well, the one thing about the offensive line, do they need left tackle? Yes. Is it something 100% that they need? Could they want you more? SB, that guy who did have 4 starts there last year. Now you got year 2. Do they bring back a Donovan Smith? to with Wanya Morris and those two, you know, facilitate that position. But yeah, I'm still sticking on a wide receiver. I know Hollywood Brown's here, but you know, just think one injury to the wide receiver core, then you're down.
Yep.
Then what do you do?
Then what do you do?
Rice gets, watch that?
No, I'm with you. Then what do you do? I don't think the addition of Hollywood Brown means you don't look. I made the case last week, Jay. Why not just go like the 2018 Royals draft where they took all pitching and just draft all wide receivers, you know? Would that really anger people?
I want at least three pass catchers, two of those being wide receiver. But, you know, if somebody gets hurt, if Hollywood Brown, who, by the way, Hollywood Brown has not been the most durable player. So if Hollywood Brown gets hurt or Rashee Rice, it's just a piece, and not only that, but, you know, we all know Hollywood Brown's only going to be here probably a year. They're not going to pay that big-time wide receiver money when he gets his new contract next year, and he's probably going to put up big numbers with Patrick Mahomes in this offense, and, you know, he's going to make a lot of money, you know. And I don't know if the Chiefs are going to be in that market. I don't think they will, but they'll need a receiver going forward. They draft a receiver the first round. They got him for 5 years of control.
Yep.
And I think that would be big for the Chiefs. You know, wide receiver there, could they bring in another, you know, journeyman wide receiver like a Hunter Renfrow or something to throw in that wide receiver room? Or if they decide to bring Justin Watson back, which is fine. If Hollywood Brown, Rashee Rice, and the rookie first-round pick are your main producers, plus maybe, you know, a guy in the fourth round, a fifth round, a Luke McCaffrey, somebody like that later on in the draft. But, yes, I have not come off wide receiver as the first pick. Not only that, I'll say this. Most of these tackles, there are some great left tackles. Matter of fact, we talk about the wide receivers in this draft. I think NFL.com rated these tackles a little bit better than the wide receivers. They're 1A and 1B in this draft. The record for wide receivers is 7 in the first round. The record for tackles in the first round is 7 back in 2008. But are you going to be getting a right tackle at 32? Mm-hmm. And I think so. I think some of these guys that are mocked to the Chiefs, like a Amarius Mims out of Georgia that really only has 1 year production, right tackle. He's slated to be first round. Tyler Guyton at Oklahoma that's been mocked a lot to the Chiefs, right tackle. A lot of mocks have a Jordan Morgan, and with the Chiefs. This is going to sound extremely geeky, but Andy Reid's average offensive tackle he had since he's been here has been 34 and a quarter inch arms. He has 32 and 7/8 inch arms. That's not a guy that'll play tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's slotted a lot in these mock drafts, but Andy Reid doesn't draft these guys. Matter of fact, it's more of a guard, and they're not going to draft a guard in the first round. Yeah. But a lot of these tackles you'll see, they're right tackles. That is not what the Chiefs need.
I'm with you. If you can't definitively say left, I'm not interested.
I'm not interested. I'm with you. Right, you don't take a right tackle in the first round.
They have a right tackle.
Yeah. They got a guy.
They have a right tackle that doesn't seem to be – they don't seem to be interested in moving to left.
Right. Who's a very good right tackle.
He's your right tackle. Yeah. So you got to focus on the left. If you can't get it there, don't.
Right.
You said 7 wide receivers. Are you confident that the seventh – because picking 32, you would have the seventh of those wide receivers. Are you confident the seventh guy can be the impactful guy for the Chiefs?
I think so. And the one good thing, I do think 32 is going to be, can they move down? Could they move down and get an extra second round pick? And as long as they're picking, you know, from anywhere from 33 to 40, which if you look at the second round, it's a lot of teams, except for the Chargers mixed in there. But there's a lot of teams like the Commanders and the Packers and some NFC teams who say they might do business with the Chiefs, because that's the problem with the first round towards the end of it. Yeah, Arizona at 27 where the Chiefs can move up. But you look at these teams like Dallas, they're not going to do business with you. Pittsburgh's not going to do business with you because they already didn't when the Chiefs were maybe interested in Deontay Johnson. But, you know, you're going to have the pick of the litter. The 32nd pick is actually pretty valuable because what you can do is – you can market that pick, and someone can jump ahead of everybody. You know how the draft kind of resets on the second night? Well, if you get to pick 32 from the Chiefs, you're already ahead of the curve and all the leftover talent, and there's going to be a ton of talent. This draft is loaded. This draft is a lot better than the draft that was in Kansas City. So 32 is going to be more coveted than it was last year. Last year, you know, but this year it's going to be a coveted pick. 32, it's going to be much more valuable than it's been the last couple of years, so someone can jump the pack and get ahead of them. If they could do that, get an extra second rounder, maybe that's the direction they go. Because if you're picking 32, it's the same as picking 37 and 38, because really these teams typically only have first-round grades on about 20 prospects, and last year was even less. It was like 11 to 15 prospects they actually graded as first-round prospects. So if you're picking 32, are you really picking 35, 36? Yes, you are. But we'll see if they get down. If they want a premium player, they're going to have to move down.
All right, Jay, continue to study the hip drop tackle tape. Oh, and next time we talk to you, we'll figure out if you know what
it is. Excited. Yeah. I'm more interested in this replay team if they're doing.
Oh, yeah, giving somebody an extra challenge now.
I mean,
it's we're mucking up the game. We really are. Like, baseball's trying to clean up the game in the NFL's here. Hip drop tackles, landing zones, and, you know, all this other
but
nonsense.
But I do like the fact that that replay official up there can override a call. If he doesn't like, you know, a pass interference, if he doesn't like a roughing the passer, they can change it. That's kind of exciting.
Well, I know you can like it. Yeah. Well, the referees on the field like it.
Yeah.
We got to get by them first, too. Where they boycott again.
When's the next Character Concerns podcast out today?
It drops today. Yeah, it comes out every Tuesday. And then starting next week, we will have three-hour night shows on 610 each week leading up into the draft on draft coverage. People around the media landscape. Matt McMullen from the Chiefs is going to stop in with us one of those nights. But each week leading up to the draft, 3 hours. And then, of course, a lot of draft coverage.
On the non-baseball nights.
On the non-baseball night, but then the draft is perfect because the Royals are playing in the afternoon. I mean, how good is that? The Thursday and Friday they are. So we have 5 hours to draft coverage Thursday, Friday. I think four on Saturday and a couple hours on Sunday. I mean, it's going to be draft-a-palooza.
That's you, pal.
That's big. You're in your heyday. Thank you, buddy.
The Royals are very accommodating to the draft.
That is nice. Yes. That is nice.
Thank you, Jay.
Yes, the Royals scheduled their game earlier so Jay could have 5 hours of draft
coverage
on draft night.
Well, Major League Baseball should not be playing on that night. It's stupid for Major League Baseball to be playing that night. The NFL is taking over. It's the first round of the draft.
Just get out of the
way. Play day games.
Just get out of the way. Deion Sanders is awfully confident in his guys, and it's terrific. We'll get to it next.
Hey, this is Rasheed Rice. Wake up with Fesco in the morning starting at 6 on 610 Sports Radio.
He's a Super Bowl champion. You should listen to him.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Being a man is what you make it. You can't always live up to expectations. You try to please everybody while you struggle, so you fake it and end up out of balance, compromising situations as a good man.
All right, one more thing on building off of the wide receiver topic. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You may have all crossed him off. Kadarius Toney's still on the roster.
Yeah, no, he's still here. Yeah. He could still get cut in training camp, though, can he?
Or they could still count on him.
Which they shouldn't, but...
They could.
They've done a really good job of not counting on anybody on this team other than like Mahomes. You know, like,
but like
why would they change their course for this guy?
But what I'm saying, a bunch of people went,
oh God,
line out of vetoed at the end of the year, right? They have not. He is still a member of this roster.
Yeah, he's still on the team. And so is Richie James, right? If I'm not mistaken.
And there is some belief that he is still the most talented player in that room.
Well, there's a difference between having talent, Josh, and realizing talent, right?
I understand that, but we've seen. Talent gets extra chances.
But I think we've given him the extra chances.
I think you think
opinion,
you have,
right?
And I think they have, and I'm not sure that they have.
Yeah, I get it.
We don't know.
We're getting FOMO for our own players. And so, again, as I've talked about, you can't have FOMO with your own players.
I'm just presenting the reality of this
whole thing.
I know
you are. No, I know. And I'm presenting the opposite side of that stupid.
You've crossed him off. I have crossed him off. Many people have crossed him off. He's still there.
Right. You're using the logical, normal approach, and I'm using the Bob Fesco approach. I don't care that he's on the roster. He sucks.
We're out here getting 7 wide receivers. They might not be.
What do you think is going to happen if he makes this team and they throw the ball to him on opening night again? Like, people are going to go, what do you do? Like, nobody wants that guy around. Like, they're hoping he just leaves, right? Like, you know what? Just retire. Make it easy on everybody. Just go retire. Do your thing. Like, if you're Patrick Mahomes, though, you have to go into the powers that be and be like, yo, dudes, I can't throw it to this guy because he doesn't catch.
Yeah. We'll see if he's a Pat Cam. I think that might be the definitive.
We'll see.
That might be the definitive.
Long way to go. He's still on the roster today.
Correct.
But Zach Wilson is still a Jet also. So I don't know that it really means anything out there right now. Or it could mean something.
Talent will keep you around.
No, it will. The talent will keep us together. We saw Captain and Tennille sing about it.
Yeah. Scandal. Now these two have become a menace and an inconvenience, and they're putting other people, putting themselves ahead of other people.
They really are,
This is going to be a problem.
This is going to be a major issue, yeah. Taylor and Travis are getting a little selfish, it seems
Let me just get the...
intro music ready to go?
Let me get it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was not thinking of doing the breaking news sounder, but I probably just should. So.
It's time for the latest on Tay-Tay and El Travador.
Travis Kelce's had a lot of big catches in his career. This would be the biggest...
This comes from Page Six today.
Yep. Bad news for everybody.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce shut down gym for private workout.
Oh, boy.
As members wait outside for 2 hours.
Yeah, I asked Bobby at the J to do that for me the other day. He said no, and we moved on.
So, photo shows people standing outside of the gym waiting to be granted access.
It also looks like your typical West Hollywood gym too. That's like in an old auto body shop.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like look at the truck on the left-hand side, the black SUV that's been driven into like a garage. There's
it's a high profile gym.
That's right. There's like a high delivery truck out front. And there's a bunch of people like milling around out front.
Yeah.
Getting their dander.
Most people
all
probably even
up.
Know this is a gym.
But yeah. Right. I mean, you know, it looks like an auto body shop.
One of those secret gyms.
Yeah. Like what's that? Oh, it's a luxury car dealer right there. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. And so this is a
scandal, the controversy.
Yeah. This is not a good
private
thing.
Workout.
Yeah. The West Hollywood location of the popular gym Dog Pound. So she once tried to kick Justin Bieber out of that gym, apparently.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, not good. Boy. Yeah.
Wow, they shut down Pound Town?
Yeah, that Dog Pound. Dog Pound. Dog Pound.
Dog Pound, totally different.
Dog Pound, yes, totally different. Neither reps for Dogtown, Swift, or Kelce were immediately available to return Page Six requests for comments.
And if they're not returning calls to Page Six, it's this thing's on.
They've been residing in L.A. following their romantic trip to the Bahamas, where they stayed at the ultra-exclusive Rosalita house on Harbor Island. So, Kelce and Taylor, they got pictures of them in their bikinis. Travis does not have a bikini on. He just has the bathing suit on, but Taylor's in her bikini in the ocean. There's pictures of them kissing in the ocean, which is beautiful. The hotel that they stayed in, where Kylie Jenner once stayed back in 2020, reportedly cost a staggering $15,000 a night, features 6 bedrooms, butlers, a gym, a pool, and more.
Well, it's got a gym. Why do they need to close this down?
Well,
to
because now
other
they're
customers.
Back. They're back in the United States, and they're back in L.A.
Different
gyms.
Gotta
get your swole on.
Okay, my bad.
You've reached peak status if you're shutting down a gym.
So, angry customers.
Yes.
In L.A. today.
I need to get my supersets in.
Yes.
Could you imagine if that happened in Leawood?
Could you imagine all the get in your playbook guys? Like they're all glad that, hey, look, he may be dating, he may have a life outside of football, but the man's still lifting weights. He's still dedicated
to
the cause.
That's true.
So that's a good thing. Yeah.
That's true.
Deion Sanders, American treasure. I love Deion.
I do too. I love everything about him.
It's thoroughly ridiculous and great. He's got high expectations for his Colorado team apparently this year.
Right.
Jayhawks face him right at Arrowhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big game.
So look out, because they're going to have two players in the top five of the draft.
It, from what I've been told about that Colorado-Kansas game at Arrowhead, and I don't know, you cover Kansas, you know, with the women's basketball and soccer at times, so you may have heard something differently. They're calling that a college football playoff preview at Arrowhead.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, version two will be at Arrowhead.
Huge. Well,
I think Kansas will host a college football playoff game in the state of Missouri before Missouri will.
Let's forget the fact that Deion thinks that both Shadur Sanders and Travis Hunter will be in the top four of the draft. Let's forget that part, which he does say. But he's basically telling, the Panthers and the Cardinals and the Browns, don't bother drafting these two guys.
Top four. Ooh, that's pretty beautiful.
Anywhere from one through four. One of them is going to be one. Mm.
That's what I'm talking about.
One of them is going to be
speaking into existence.
And the latter one would not go behind four. Mm. Now, all this is subjective because I know where I want them to go. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
It's okay, you on point.
It's going to be it's going to be an Eli.
So again, forget the fact that he's really confident that two of his guys are going top four and one's going one.
Right.
Well, there's some cities there that's not going to.
You know what the interesting thing is? It sounds to me, remember that LeVar Ball
million
guy?
$1 million worth of game podcast. I want to shout out to them.
Okay, shout it out to them.
Yeah.
Remember that LeVar Ball guy? I think that was his name, LeVar Ball, right? Yeah. And was talking about his kids, Lonzo and Melo and all the other balls that were out there.
Right.
A lot of balls. The difference is, like, Deion's kids are good. The balls were not good.
I don't know if they're both going to be top four picks.
But they may not be top four.
Travis Hunter might be.
Yeah.
I don't know the quarterback. Maybe not.
The quarterback could be.
He's
all right.
I think he's good.
I think he's a fun player. He's really good. He's really fun. He's very entertaining.
Deion,
right?
I probably wouldn't put the pressure on, you know, him being top four, but whatever.
Hey, but whatever. But I appreciate what Deion's doing here, and I have no ill will towards it at all. I think more kids should do what Eli Manning did and say, I'm not going there. You have one chance to get drafted, right? One opportunity to really to do something great with your life, right? Who wants to play for a crappy team? And I don't blame, because these teams are bad for a reason, because they're not set up internally to have success. And so when you're a bad team, you're consistently picking in the top 10 of the draft, you're never making it into the postseason, or maybe you sneak in here, but you're 2-12 and 1-15 and all this nonsense. As a father, think about it to yourself. As a father, do I want my kid going to a bad organization?
No.
No, you really don't. You want your kid to be set up to have success.
Especially a quarterback,
right? Yeah. No, especially a quarterback. So you want your kid to be set up for success no matter what your kid does, whether it's school, whether it's, you know, the real world with a job. You want your kid to have the opportunity to achieve and to have success. And if you get drafted by some of these teams in the NFL, your kid is not going to have the opportunity to have success. Like the Carolina Panthers, the Arizona Cardinals, the Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets. Those would all be on my list. I'm sorry, man. My kid's not playing for you guys. And I think more and more people need to do this to wake up some of these teams that are just counting money and putting a bad product on the field and stealing money from their fans by selling them tickets to a trash product. And so I think if we start to see more and more like this, maybe some of these ass teams will take some onus on themselves and find ways to get better, because people are going to say, I'm not going there. I'm not playing there. I'll sit out. I'm not playing for the Carolina Panthers or the Jets.
You're holding back my career.
Yeah, you are. There's so many teams that do that. The Royals for years did that in Major League Baseball. If you were a pitcher drafted by the Royals, why would you want to go there?
Dead stick.
Yeah.
What was once told to us.
Yeah.
Eli Manning did respond to, he quote tweeted the video that was going around of Deion. He said, love me some Deion. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Which is true. Which is true. So, yeah, take control of your career. I don't blame most of these players for go ahead and doing that. The Chiefs, let's not forget, had the biggest offseason free agent signing, and it wasn't Chris Jones. Next.
Hey, this is Trent McDuffie. Wake up with Fesco in the morning, starting at 6 on 610 Sports Radio.
By Raider Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com.
I'm reading something real fast, and I misread it, but it says Arizona head coach Jonathan Gannon on Kyler Murray, right? Doesn't matter what he says. And I read it as Cardinals interim head coach Jonathan Gannon on Kyler.
Well, kind of.
Other than like Andy Reid and Mike Tomlin, shouldn't everybody just be called an interim head coach in the NFL?
Temporary. Or, yeah.
Because you really don't have the job for that long.
Yeah. No.
And now I know who Jonathan Gannon is.
Especially when you're tied to Kyler Murray.
Yeah, exactly.
You might not be there very long.
No, probably not.
Might not be there very long. So Andy Reid spoke yesterday at the owners' meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had the biggest free agent signing of the offseason.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
No question. Steve Spagnuolo was the biggest free agent signing.
No offense to Chris Jones, but
right.
Keeping Spags, who had interest.
Mm-hmm.
As big as anything.
Yeah, no doubt. And you realize the difference he makes. He is the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of the NFL, and quite honestly, maybe the greatest coordinator in the history of the NFL. I don't think a coordinator has won more Super Bowls than what Steve Spagnuolo has done, and he's done it shutting down some really good quarterbacks. I mean, he shut down Tom Brady with the Giants. He shut down Jalen Hurts with the Philadelphia Eagles. He shut down Mr. Irrelevant. Like these guys, especially the run that they made, shutting down Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen in the postseason and whatnot. Like, Steve Spagnuolo is the greatest defensive coordinator of all time. And there was some conversation out there about him potentially going to San Francisco, you know, this offseason. And Andy Reid even spoke about it. He goes, he'd like to be a head coach again someday, I'm sure, you know, and whatnot. And I'd love him for to have that. But next to Patrick Mahomes, this is going to be the biggest loss the Chiefs will have to deal with at some point over the next couple of years. He is the best that has ever lived at his job, just like Patrick Mahomes is the best that has ever lived at his job. And not many can say that, right? Like, Mahomes can't even quite say that just now, because people will say, well, Tom Brady has 7 and Mahomes doesn't. Andy Reid can't even say he's the best ever, even though he's trending to be the greatest of all time, because Belichick and Shula still have more victories than him. And I think Belichick still has more postseason victories than Andy Reid does as of right now. So, like, they can't even definitively say that. Like, Steve Spagnuolo may be the only guy in the NFL that can legitimately say, I am the greatest at what I do that has ever lived. And so losing Steve Spagnuolo, well, he is, but losing Steve Spagnuolo would be terrible for this organization.
Andy Reid addressed keeping Spags.
Yeah, he was on the last year of his deal. And so I think his dream was to become a head coach. It still is. And hopefully he has that opportunity next year to do that. So it didn't work out that way. So we just jumped on it, you know, knowing that teams were going to be coming after him.
And they came pretty quick right after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there were a couple that came after.
Were the Niners one of those teams coming after?
Potentially, yeah. You'd have to ask them. But I wasn't asking questions. I was just trying to get it done.
Yeah, I don't care who wants you. We just got to get this thing locked down. What's it going to take to keep it here? And I love Spag. Don't be head coach again.
No, don't do that.
Just be the best at what you're doing.
Yeah, there's no reason to go be a head football coach again. Especially because you're going to go to a bad organization that isn't going to set you up to have success. I mean,
fired in 3 years.
He was the head coach of the Rams. Did he make his mistakes? You better believe he made his mistakes. He had something like 7 pillars of trust or something that were nonsensical when he was the head coach and whatnot. People rolled their eyes, but it was also a bad organization. It was the Rams. And somebody on the text line says from the 785, I don't know about that, Bob. That's a dangerous precedent to set. It's saying you're a bad teammate. Did Jordan and Bird, you know, bail because they were drafted by bad teams? Nope. They became champions. We're talking about the 70s and 80s versus where we are now. A lot has changed since then. You could go in and become a champion overnight in sports back in the day. There were less teams. The athletes weren't
Michael
as good
Jordan
as they are today.
Said he wasn't going to the Trailblazers.
Yeah, right. That's why they took Sam Bowie.
I'll start that.
Yeah.
Fake.
And Larry Bird said he wasn't going to the Knicks either.
That's right. That's right.
So he went to Boston. So, I mean, like, no, I think if you're somebody that is going to go to an organization, whether it be a quarterback or a player or a head coach, you've got to make sure that organization is set up for success. And generally, if you're hiring a, like, the Chiefs were not a good organization before Andy Reid came here, as we see by the studies that have come out from the Players Association. Andy Reid is the reason why the Chiefs are this premier organization right now. These organizations that are bad stay consistently bad because they have bad ownership. Look at the Chicago Bears. Look at the Cleveland Browns. Bad ownership with both of those franchises. That's why they're never going to be good franchises. And so if you're Steve Spagnuolo, you could leave Kansas City, right, where you're defensive coordinator and winning Super Bowls, and go be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, but you have the chance that the owner throws a drink in your face. Why do you want to go do that, especially at that stage of your life where you're pushing 60 years old? Ah, the hell with that. I don't want to deal with some nitwit owner.
I'm just a great defensive coordinator, and that's good.
Yeah, and I'm good, and I got a great situation here. Clark lets us do our thing. He's put Andy in charge of one side, Mark Donovan on the other, and we got utopia in Kansas City. Yeah. There's no reason to go and try to turn another bad organization around, because it starts with ownership, and until they're willing to change, well, nobody's going to change.
Former Mizzou product is good for the under. We'll discuss next.
This is Fesco in the Morning. Make sure to follow the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. 610 Sports Radio.
Got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting.
When you're sitting the bench. Done. Brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. If you're curious as to the whereabouts of former Missouri Tiger Jontay Porter, you probably found out yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't know he was like playing in the NBA.
I was not aware. He's a Toronto Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
The former Missouri Tiger.
Isn't that
though,
where Grady Dick is in Toronto?
Correct.
Right. Yes. I saw a picture of him the other day.
Jontay Porter is under investigation by the NBA following multiple instances of betting irregularities over the past several months.
You forgot to say former Missouri player Jontay Porter.
Correct.
So people know he's got a tie to the area. Anytime somebody has a tie to the
Columbia
area.
Columbia will write this story that way.
You know, yeah,
former,
they will. Yeah.
The Columbia paper will, former Missouri. Yeah
right. But there's got to be tie. Like anytime we bring something up and there's a tie-in of somebody that did something locally, people on the text line point it out all the time. Oh, Greg Williams is from Excelsior Springs. Every time we talk about that loser, we get the Excelsior Springs text. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows he's a former Missouri product.
Okay.
That's all.
So He's not great. Okay, he's not great.
He's a very marginal player at best.
Right,
right. Like he's a step above of a 10-day contract type of guy.
Oh, he's earning $415,000 per season. So it ain't all bad.
No, but I mean that's a step above the 10-day contract.
So
right?
he's on an NBA roster and he's getting NBA money. Okay, $415,000 a year, not bad. His numbers are very, very low,
mm-hmm.
and so I would find it natural that if you were betting on Jontay Porter on a night, you'd probably take the under on most of
the stats. Also, if you're betting on Jontay Porter, I'm going to question why you're betting on Jontay Porter, right? Doesn't that have to be the first question?
Yeah. So at this point, they're not saying he's betting.
Nope.
But this is the slippery slope we're under. Could he be telling people, like, I ain't playing tonight?
Right.
You know, like, go under. I ain't playing tonight. So. And Woj is on the case, too, which is always...
You don't want Woj,
okay,
on,
Woj
the case,
is on the case for ESPN as well. So they're looking into it. In a game January 26th against the LA Clippers, there was increased betting interest on the under for Porter's props.
Okay.
Which for the night were set around 5.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 1.5 assists.
Very low numbers,
there
right?
was an over-under for made three-pointers at a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So if he made one, he took the over and it was done.
Correct.
Yeah.
That evening, Porter played just 4 minutes before leaving the game. But what the Raptors said was an aggravation of an eye injury.
I like how they phrase it, because of what the Raptors said was aggravation of an eye injury.
Here's why. He did not score, had 3 rebounds and 1 assist, did not attempt a three, meaning it hit all of the under props.
Right. Congratulations.
The next day, as part of the daily report on betting results, DraftKings stated that the under on Porter's three-pointers was the biggest money winner for bettors of any NBA player props for games that evening.
So the most player prop money, the best winner was Jontay Porter
under a half.
Three-pointer. Seems a little weird, right?
Right. The interesting thing is after the eye injury, 2 days later, he played 19 minutes, scored 12 points, pulled down 7 rebounds, and had 3 assists. Well, so the eye injury couldn't have been all that bad.
Well, you know, it cured.
Yeah.
March 20th against the Sacramento Kings, this would be just last week, Porter played just 3 minutes before exiting what the Raptors had said was an illness and did not return. He did not score after attempting one shot and had 2 rebounds. Sportsbooks had his over-under set at 7.5 points and 5.5 rebounds.
Getting close on the rebounds, yeah.
DraftKings then, the next day, said Porter's prop bets were the number one moneymaker from the night in the NBA. At least one other U.S. sportsbook detected unusual betting interest on the Porter props in the games in question. Sources telling ESPN multiple betting accounts attempted to bet large amounts, upward of $10,000 and $20,000, on Porter unders in that January game against the Clippers. Betting limits on any NBA player props vary by sportsbook, but typically around $1,000 to $2,000.
So they were trying to do 10 times the amount.
Set off red flags.
Of course.
The good news is sports has set up safeguards to try to catch some of these things.
Yes.
And they may have caught this.
They may have done it because I think people are going to say, see, this is what happens when you legalize gambling. And I'm like, no, you're able to find the people that are cheating and that are skirting the system and that are trying to do things that are illegal.
He is under investigation. Again, no allegations that he placed bets, but could he have given information? Did somebody have some knowledge of,
Or we're going to split it with you.
Hey,
you're only making $414, which is not a huge salary in the NBA. This is where you now do get in trouble with this kind of stuff, because people have always said, the money that these guys are making playing professional sports is outrageous. There's no incentive. But when you're making $414,000 as an NBA player and you're losing half of that to the government and agent fees and all that, you're making $200,000. You're working with guys that are making millions of dollars that live this lavish lifestyle. You're trying to figure out more ways to make more money. Everybody wants to make more money, right? And so I could see, like, if somebody said to Jontay Porter, again, this is just my impression of all this, somebody says to him, hey, we're all going to bet the under tonight. We'll split the winnings with you. Just make sure you don't hit the overs. I mean, for a guy who's making $414,000, that's a lot more tempting than the guy who's making $45 million.
Yeah. Or without even profiting. Guys, I ain't playing tonight.
Yeah.
I ain't feeling it tonight.
I ain't playing against the Clippers.
Yeah. My eye's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Just saying. Mm-hmm. You do what you want with it.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. You know, you can come up with any kind of speculation. But the safeguards they have in place to monitor this kind of stuff have said let's take a look.
Right. Let's set a red flag.
Which I do like.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Okay. Some of the things you tried to stave off may have worked in this instance.
Mm-hmm. And I think from a standpoint of, trying to clean up the game, if this kind of stuff is going on, and clearly we're seeing kind of, things over the last couple of weeks, last week really, that we would say, what's really going on? It's catching this kind of stuff. And I think from a fan's perspective, you want anybody that may be involved in any of this kind of stuff out of the game so your team can have an opportunity to win.
Mm-mm-mm. Who knew? Jontay Porter unders would lead the NBA in prop betting, right, even for two nights this year in the NBA. And again, for those of you who didn't know where he's at, he's a Raptor. So there you go. I guess Cole Reagans, to a certain extent, sums up the new Royals direction.
Yeah, I think it does. And there was a story at MLB.com called How Cole Reagans Became the Budding Ace for the Royals, right?
Gosh, I like that headline.
You like that headline, right?
I do.
And I start to read through the story, and look, we kind of
know. The unheralded ace who just might be one of MLB's best pitchers.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. And it's a Royal.
Right. It's a Royal, right?
This is great.
And it's a little geeky. There's some geeky stuff out there. But there was this paragraph that jumped out to me like turkey on Thanksgiving, right? And it goes like this. It wasn't just the fastball. After being shipped from the Rangers to the Royals in the Aroldis Chapman deal on June 30th, Reagans debuted with Kansas City on July 15th. The first time he faced lefty Luke Raley in the second inning, Reagans dropped the first slider of his MLB career for a called strike. In the fourth, Reagans greeted Rayleigh with another slider, resulting in a weak ground ball to the right side. Okay, none of the rest
that's,
of it matters.
That's artistry,
right?
I'll
but
tell that, you right
but
there.
But that is. I mean, you developed the new pitch in 15 days and went out there and used it and struck some cat out. That's pretty cool, right? It's a cool story.
Didn't have to work on it in spring training.
No, didn't. It's funny,
he
right?
Did it as the season was going
God
on?
Forbid cool. you ask him to bunt. But oh. yeah, we can point back to this. Awesome. Cole Reagans developed the new pitch and became a Cy Young Award candidate in 15 days.
You can do it.
Stop blaming the World Baseball Classic, Brady Singer.
You can do it.
Stop using baseball excuses, okay? They don't hold weight. And that's going to kind of be, I think I'm going to release a theme on Thursday for the Royal season. And one of them is going to be, I'm not buying your crap. Okay. I'm just not. Stop peddling.
I don't think that's just for Thursday.
No, for the season.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Stop peddling baseball,
just for baseball
crap.
Yeah.
Stop peddling baseball excuses. Stop telling me it can't be done. Stop saying there's no way we didn't do blah, 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 blah. It's all crap. It's all excuses that you make when your team is losing. And now I have expectations for the Royals to do some good things. But anyway, back to the main point. It says that shipped him from the Rangers to the Royals in the Aroldis Chapman deal. And I saw that sentence and I'm like, you know what? David Glass would have never allowed the Royals to sign Aroldis Chapman, to spend the money to get Aroldis Chapman, to get him here with the ability to be able to flip him. And when you look back at last season and really where we are in so far with the ownership of John Sherman and the GMship, if you will, of J.J. Piccolo, this is by far the most significant move that this organization made. Not the trade for Cole Reagans, the signing of Aroldis Chapman. Because I remember when they signed Aroldis Chapman, I had some conversations with people around baseball that said, well, they're probably just going to end up flipping him around the deadline anyway. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that.
That's the mode they needed to be
right,
in at that point.
Right.
In time.
They understood where they were. They weren't trying to feign that they were going to be a good baseball team. They went out and made a shrewd baseball move that they said, you know what? We're not going to win a lot of games this year. What do we need a closer for? We need him because he's going to come in here, rebuild his image, pitch well, and then we're going to have a great trade chip. And who did they trade him to? The Texas Rangers. And they were able to get arguably the best prospect back in return that they could have gotten. And he's turning into a legit Cy Young Award candidate right before our eyes. David Glass never would have allowed that to happen. If they did acquire him, they would have had no intention to trade him because they didn't like to move anybody. God forbid you trade a player for the last 18 years. That never happened. And so if they don't make that move with Aroldis Chapman, there's no way Cole Reagans is here. We're seeing the Sherman stamp on the Royals because now we have an ace that we never would have had if Glass was still allegedly in charge of the franchise. And I say allegedly because I don't know what he did. So I look at what this organization is doing right now. Those are the moves that championship-type organizations make when they're building to be a champion. Yeah, we know we're not going to be very good this year. Nobody really wants this guy, but we believe we can bring him in here, sign him to a contract with the intent. And it was, I don't want to say it was in the contract, but it was with intent that they will trade him to a contender. And he needed to rehab his image and rehab who he was because of the way it went down. Remember 2 years ago with the Yankees when he basically just quit on the team and didn't show up anymore? His image was tarnished in baseball. He needed to rebuild his image. The Royals needed a trade piece. It was the perfect situation, and they did it. I don't think it happens under old ownership. John Sherman's like, yeah, sign the guy, and let's trade him for the best possible prospect. Former assistant GM Gene Watson was scouting this guy, Cole Reagans, for months on end, knew exactly who they wanted to get. They put the plan in place. They got Cole Reagans here.
Dayton
did
us
a
solid.
And now here we sit, right?
Dayton did us a solid on the way out.
Yeah, I don't know if Dayton, he would want to do any solids after being fired by an organization. But the Royals did a great job of setting
Chris Young
up.
Did us a solid?
Maybe.
All right.
But they did a great job, the Royals did, of setting themselves up to have the ability to go out and acquire a guy like that. Because if you don't sign Aroldis Chapman, we're talking about Brady Singer, we're talking about Waka, we're talking about Lugo, and we're talking about two other spots in the rotation that you don't know what you have, and you just didn't get an arm, you got an ace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So give John Sherman a lot of credit for saying, yeah, let's see this vision and let's look at this vision and follow it through. We're going to trade these guys. We're going to sign these guys with the intent of trading them. If it doesn't work, we're bouncing. And they bounced by June 30th on Aroldis Chapman. They didn't wait around.
And hopefully it's a sign of, hey, every once in a while, things can work out for us. You always have that kind of doom and gloom about,
right?
It never works for our team. Well, this one worked.
Right.
And I hope it continues to work. I hope he is indeed. Turns out to be like just a gem.
Right.
He had a great end stint to last year.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Still a lot to prove.
No doubt.
But I think the upside is there. He throws. So I love it. If they end up getting getting an ace at the top of the rotation for a flip at the, you know, at the deadline type thing. Awesome. That's exactly what you want to have happen. It just doesn't happen a lot.
No, it doesn't.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDF, HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. Andy Reid's the worst.
He really
He's
is.
Just the worst.
He is the worst.
No, actually the odds are.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.